look at something in Baptist history, and I was reading a small volume entitled The History of Baptist Indian Missions, or looking through it, and the journal in today's, well, April 1st actually, was struck me, and I want to talk about this this man, really a great hero of the faith, named Isaac McCoy. And, you know, tell you a little bit about his life. Of course, can't do it justice in the time we'll talk. But Isaac McCoy, with his wife and seven small children, entered into the wilderness in the early 1800s to preach Christ to the American Indians. And the wilderness was Indiana, southern Indiana, and we'll talk about that. But that was the Wild West in the early 1800s. And Isaac and Christiana McCoy would have 14 children in all. They raised their family in the most primitive of conditions. The conditions that they suffered are almost really beyond comparison. And if you're interested, that book, it's an autobiography of his, History of Baptist Indian Missions. You can still find it on Amazon. I think it's $5 in Kindle. And just a fascinating account of journal after journal of all the things that he accomplished and what he did. And tell a little bit about that this morning. He traveled alone most of the time, left his family back at the main mission. The board that had promised him support failed to support him as they promised, but he persevered through trial after trial. And as you read these journal entries, you're really caught up, just really caught up in the things that happened, just the things like, you know, his horses would run away in the middle of the night, he and another guy going all through the night searching for the horses. And one journal entry just really kind of hit you right in the stomach. His little nine-year-old girl was attacked by three Indians and almost murdered. And what happened there, I won't go into all that, but this was the 1st of April journal. But anyway, go back and talk about him. He was born in 1784. In Pennsylvania. When he was younger, his father moved their family to Kentucky, and he was there was really great revivals. I've talked about this. It spread through Kentucky and what is now southern Indiana in the 1801, and he was converted in revival during that time. He joined the Silver Creek Baptist Church. He was baptized in 1801. Or after he was saved in 1800. He married Christiana Polk in 1804, and then he was licensed to preach in 1808. They moved to Vincennes, Indiana. He felt that God would have him move away from his ministry and move to, again, what was the wilderness at that time, and he became the pastor of the Maria Creek Baptist Church, and there he was ordained in October of 1810. While he was on this western frontier in what would be Vincennes, that area in southern Indiana, this brought him into contact, direct contact with the Indians. And this is really where his ministry that we know him as would begin. And God really laid on his heart these people and how they needed the Savior. And he requested from the different churches that were in the area, they had put together like a mission board, and he requested from the board 1 year of like a 1 year appointment where they would support him, and then he would serve as a missionary to these Indian people. And he wrote this. He said, "I resolved that notwithstanding I had no assurance of patronage beyond the current year, I would, the Lord willing, make an effort to establish a mission and to employ the remainder of my life and labors in the promotion of their temporal and eternal welfare." And that he did. As I said, most of the churches bailed out on him after a little time. They did not support him, but that didn't matter to him. As you see mentioned here, he had determined that he would serve for the rest of his life, no matter what the churches decided to do. And his family suffered hunger, disease, great sorrow. I mention this because I think it really brings it home, but they had 14 children. 11 of them would be buried on the mission field. And Such was the character of Christiana. She many times was left alone. The biography says that, puts it this way, alone she would bear the children, and many times alone she would bury them. And just a really heartbreaking stories of this man. So anyway, a distance from civilization, lack of helpers, of course the peril that the Indians brought, yet he undauntedly, served and began to win the trust of these Indians. He wrote this, he said, "Missions to the Indians are unpopular things, and he who does not possess resources within himself to work alone or with few associates, to sow much and reap little, to work hard without the reward of worldly honor or money, to remain poor all his life for the sake of making the almost friendless Indians rich, and to wait for his pay until he shall get to heaven, had better not enter upon the mission to the Indians." What a great thing he wrote there. And so as he began to serve these Indians, he would feed, he would clothe them, he actually took in a mini orphanage, lodged many of the Indian children that needed parents. He founded schools, and most importantly, he started to establish churches. But as he worked with them, God began to work on his heart that the Indians really needed to move from where they were in the East to somewhere west. He wanted to get them away from the white man was really his purpose. He said that he believed that getting to the Indians to their own places beyond the reach of the whiskey traders and others who were exploiting them would give them the best chance he could think of surviving and really becoming Christians. So the Indians were on the verge of extinction because of the many Indian wars and even among themselves. But he felt that the only way to save these people from themselves and from, maybe the settlers that were evil, the whiskey traders, would be to have them have their own nation. Now, we look back and it wasn't a perfect scenario, but you have to think in terms of what he was dealing with alone, by himself, literally, with these Indian nations. And so he began to make trips to Washington. And over time, he would make 13 trips to Washington. He felt that if he could get the government to agree and help him, even maybe a little support, to set up what he calls civilization programs, and he could then develop education programs. Now imagine this without the help of anyone. He's doing this himself. He could set up educational programs. He could teach them how to become farmers. But most importantly, he felt that he could preach to them, and he could set up a network of men to go and preach to these Indians and set and begin local churches. And so he thought of the idea of making an Indian state, which really was what we know now as Kansas and Nebraska. And he thought that would be the perfect situation where he could evangelize these Indians and save them from extinction. In 1824, his relocation idea was tentatively accepted by the United States Secretary of War. He toured these lands in 1829 to find the perfect place. And then in 1830, the plan was approved by Congress. Isaac McCoy would know personally four presidents and numerous dignitaries in Congress as he met personally with the presidents and told them about the situation there. This Indian territory was his idea, and he is credited in history with this great idea and what he tried to do. He eventually would lead many of these people to those areas and set up churches. Something similar was going on in the South that would go on to Oklahoma. We talked about that. That's a different story. But he did this into what is now Kansas and Nebraska. His biographer says his unselfish devotion and untiring efforts on the Indian behalf saved the Indians from certain extinction. And he was known and respected by Indian chiefs and presidents alike. He died on June 21st, 1848, and his last words were this. He said, "Tell the brethren to never let the Indian mission decline." He's buried in Louisville, Kentucky. And I think of two things. I just thought of our verses that we just are memorizing this week and next week. But listen to these verses and how they apply to this man's life. He said, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. How apropos, you know, what we're learning right now. And another verse that I thought of that really typifies his life and what he did was Galatians 5:14, where it says, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." And that really typifies Isaac McCoy and his wonderful ministry and what he did historically for the Indians and personally for the Indians, and what God was able to do through his life. And I want to thank the Lord this morning for this great Baptist missionary. Tremendous ministry and what he did for the Lord.